All right, play the music, start the show, Dan. Let's get this train wreck rolling.
Done and done.
Let me in.
Bit of the bubbly.
The Monday Night Messiah.
For the love of God, stay away from the dip and dance.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of the Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be a scientist. And that's a fact. It's DPP.
It's science.
I love it. I love it.
Do you? Do you? How much do you love it?
You know,
you do?
It's
lying asshole.
No, I mean...
No, it's Friday. I'm sorry, it's Friday. So you do love it now. It's done with. It's behind you
I
for
do.
The week. You got a clear, 60 hours of relaxation.
And Monday off, brother.
Oh
yeah!
All right, well, last week I started the show in with a little poem, and as I'm reciting the poem, I'm like, this is where dreams come to die, when you make fun of somebody else's team before you even play. And sure enough, somewhere in the you got the hat on, you're awesome. Somewhere in the first half, somebody lost their mojo, and that would have been the Green Bay Packers. AJ, congratulations, big victory. You texted me and then during the game, and you didn't gloat, text me afterwards, so I appreciate that. I respect you even more for it. He's funky and oh so fresh. He's AJ Belaz, Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan. Go ahead, get it out of your system.
And 4-2 now after beating those devilish Green Bay Packers. Like I said, the text I thought was funny, where I'm like, all right, I watched the first quarter. I'm going on a date night with my girlfriend. Start driving. Look at the thing. It's halftime. 28-10. Wait, it was 10-0. Why is it 28-10?
That game flipped in an instant when the ball was tried to get forced to Davante Adams, and it was all downhill from there. Not much else to talk about there. This is a wrestling podcast, though. This is the DWI Wrestling Podcast, and when we go out to fill out our podcast form every year, it's actually a cooking show, just to be, sure. The box we check is cooking, not wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then under Best Friend, it's listed Big Dave Ungar, Attitude of Aggression. Let's bring him in. Our best friend, Big Dave.
Man, you guys are really playing this shit up. I mean, everything that we talked about off air is just getting brought in here. And I, guys, let's not skip the fact that this is a momentous occasion for the DWI podcast, as this is officially your 250th episode and unofficially your 300th, right?
Non-officially, you're probably a little over 300. slightly unofficially, it's episode 251. But officially, it's episode 250. There is an episode that only myself, DP, and Kenny Killa got to hear.
Probably the greatest episode ever.
Skype recorder was our tool back then, and it never showed up in any of DP's files. He'll probably get it, 3 weeks from now, and that was 4.5 years ago. So shout out to myself, DP, and Kenny Killa, the only three people that have heard. But for everybody, it is episode 250, yes.
Woohoo! Man. I would like to take full responsibility for your success, but I won't.
I'll tell you what, we can tell a couple stories now. So this is 6 years. We started in September of 2014. And our first year, we only did 10 or 12 episodes. We were doing one a month. Then we started going every week. Then we were starting doing more Frankie DeFalco shows, you know, previewing Bruce City Wrestling. Did Chair Shot Radio for a while. But early on, I think Kenny reached out to DP and I, and he wanted to have us on his show. And we were thrilled, and it was great. And then I believe Kenny introduced us to Dave. And ever since then, we've been doing so much shit together. It's been awesome. So it's great to have you on the 250th episode, Dave. So there is no doubt that we are better podcasters because of you and Kenny. That's 100%. I've said that a million times.
All bullshitting aside and screwing around, I mean, yeah, you guys have been, we've been linked at the hip for a lot of stuff for the last 5 years. Because Attitude of Aggression started in 2015, and you know, stuff like the TriCast, which became a yearly thing when you know, before Kenny retired Sunday Segway, and we were doing that all the time, and it still gets brought back as we've seen this year, which is nice. But yeah, I mean, we've been through it all. We've been through previewed, reviewed, God knows how many pay-per-views, some much better than others lately. Much
Very
better
much
than
so.
Others. But yeah, I mean, I feel, you know, getting together with you guys and collaborating on a lot of different shows, just different topics. You guys have been a major part of the Swaggy Awards every freaking year that I've done them.
Those are awesome.
And that's,
we love them.
You know, yeah. And the award show is always one of my favorite times of the year because of, you know, largely because of you guys. And yeah, I mean, the shenanigans were out of control when Gator was still around and we knew he was alive and kicking and, you know, I feel bad AJ never got to deal with Gator because he would have just been like, what a legend. Yeah.
Yes, but, in ways, yes, very much so.
In ways, yes, yes. But I would like to say, AJ, I love the old school Tampa Bay helmet behind your left shoulder back there. That is Creamsicle, the swashbuckling debonair dude that he is. So
good old Bucko Bruce, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the flag, the red and pewter. That I have wearing.
And the Bucks are rumored to be signing Antonio Brown. So
it's them or Seattle. It's them or Seattle is what, yeah, I've seen across the bottom line here with SportsCenter on. So we'll see. I mean, Tom Brady had him in New England for a cup of coffee.
That
worked
out well.
Out with him. Yeah. You know, it's just a rental for 1 year. I mean, they're going to use him to get their title and that's going to be the end of it. You know, I don't really think he fits in either place, to be honest with you, if you guys want to talk about that briefly before we get into the show. I don't think he fits in anywhere. You're all football fans. Think about Seattle. They're not having any problem scoring points right now. If you told me that Antonio Brown was a defensive player with the stature of skills and proven record on the defensive side as he is a wide receiver, I think any of these teams would welcome him because you can always use more defense. But the ball can only get put into so many people's hands. And Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf and David Moore are doing great things with Russell Wilson right now. And when Godwin's healthy and Evans is healthy, you already have Gronk over there and a couple of other receivers that aren't horrible. I guess they're not Antonio Brown is the bottom line, right?
You know where he should go? All bullshitting aside, he should go back to Pittsburgh. That is where he would fit in very well right now.
Wouldn't that have been something if him and Bell would have both ended back up in Pittsburgh this year, DPI?
Yeah. I have Le'Veon Bell on my fantasy team. Waiting to see what team he went to. I'm like, hey, go back to Pittsburgh. That's fine with me. I mean, they got Pittsburgh's got Claypool coming up as a rookie, and they're figuring out ways to use him. And with Washington and Juju Smith, I don't know if they really need Antonio Brown either, really, honestly. But he's obviously not in the picture for going to Pittsburgh. But
Ball could have went back to Pittsburgh, but Brown would have never been able to go back to Pittsburgh. No. Go ahead, AJ.
Just send him to the NFC East. Fuck it. I mean, send him to
Purgatory. Yeah, like the Eagles would probably be a better choice for Antonio Brown. But here's the other thing where it's like, oh, like Seattle or Tampa, they don't need Antonio Brown. Okay, did the Chiefs need Le'Veon Bell?
Yes.
Did they really, though? They've been doing really good with that rookie. That rookie's been so good that I can't remember his name because it's like three names and it's hyphenated.
Hey, you can't name the starting running back, so name the backup running back then.
Fair. Isn't that still Damian Williams?
No, Damian Williams is the guy who took the year off because of COVID.
Right, right.
Sean McCoy is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So behind him,
yeah,
they're
with
Darwin Thompson and Daryl Williams. So,
okay.
Plus Le'Veon Bell. Plus, with an injured Sammy Watkins, Le'Veon Bell is one of the guys throughout history as a running back who actually doesn't start in the backfield but can line up in the slot and beat linebackers and safeties at the same time.
Well, here's another thing, and you're probably going to be happy about this, Tunney. Did the Ravens really need Ngakoue? Getting traded from the Vikings to the Ravens?
Right, but when he left Jacksonville, it was to go play with someone that was going to be good. And now that the Vikings are one and whatever and no hope, he was probably not very content being there. So that was an easy pickup for the Ravens, who could, like I said, you can always use more guys on defense, but there's only so many balls to go around on offense.
Yeah.
If you're Le'Veon Bell, you must feel like you won the lottery. You get the fuck out of New York with that disaster, and you go to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's comparable to winning the lottery. At least I might have to the Derby or something. Shit.
Yeah. I might have to start him this week, too, just because. I mean, you got guys like Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey on your team. You're kind of fucked right now.
Just don't play anybody from the Washington football team, which is going to be their name next year, too, apparently. WFT.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I listen to their president. He's like, it's not that easy. There's all this branding and all this, that, and the other. And I'm like, dude, stop. It's just bullshit. They're going to be like they'll be the Redskins again before too long.
Part of them is trying to stick it to the league for making them change the name, or for having to change the name, going, well, now we're going to take our time and you can just deal with Washington football team.
I mean, it's kind of funny whenever they do write-ups about them, they're just calling them the football team. It's like, God, if they're the football team, then why are they 1-5? You know, they should be 5-1 if you're the football team.
Right, precedent has been set there. You need to have a program that's at the high point of an Ohio State. That's why they're the Ohio State.
You didn't see the asterisk.
Could they be WAF? Washington, a football team.
Washington, less than a football team.
but you have to think about it this way. They could be the prominent team in the NFC East.
Yeah, AJ, come on. I mean, talk about that's like setting the bar on the ground and not Daniel Jonesing it as you go over the bar, you know?
Yeah, Daniel Jones knew that his number was 8 and he pulled a Steve Young, but at least Steve Young scored.
Yeah.
Sniper got him. It happens on the softball field.
Yeah. I just watched that and I'm like,
Sniper!
That shit would only happen in a Giants-Eagles game. The weirdest shit happens when those teams play. Just ridiculous stuff.
There's a reason why the Eagles have 2 miracles somehow.
So if any of you have gone out and watched any of the highlights from the NFL weekend, did you any of you see Ryan Tannehill run for the touchdown and then kind of finger roll the ball over the goal line?
And almost break his ankle? Yes!
You want to know what happened? He jumped higher because he was so amped up than he thought he was, and he came down later than he thought he would, and he almost broke his leg. It was hilarious.
It's fine. Just hand it off to Derrick Henry. You're fine.
Exactly. What's going on in wrestling, guys? Nothing worth a shit, right?
We're going to get to wrestling. Speaking of that, I think it's, you know, what are we getting to? Almost the evening time on the East Coast, nearly 7 o'clock.
Yep,
let's all loosen up here and what you drinking.
Drink it in, man. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time I'm drunk. I walk in a bar.
Alright, episode 250 wouldn't be complete without... Oh, wow, you cut that off quick. Oh, there it is. Is it still there?
It's still there. What are you talking about?
It's always still there. It's faded.
As long as DP hears it, we're using his recording. Anyway, I'll just keep going as if I still hear it behind me. I don't. Huh. I got it two-hearted.
I don't have it. Like, right back up for it.
No, you're good. what are you drinking over there, Mixmaster DPP?
Oh, back on the mixed drinks, as a matter of fact. I've got my classic, a different type of Becky special, but it is the Absolute Mandarin, but with a pineapple soda as opposed to the pineapple juice and Sprite mix.
Who sells pineapple soda?
Yaritos. last pineapple soda.
Yajitos.
Yajitos.
Give them a plug, maybe you'll get a case or something.
That'd be great. You can get it at your
official pineapple soda
stores.
Of DPP, the DWI podcast.
Official pineapple soda DWI. Yaritos. Delicious and goes great with vodka.
Anything goes great with vodka, which is why I'm drinking it too. So,
go ahead, Dave. Oh,
there you go, Big Dave.
Something with Grey Goose. Who the fuck knows? I mean, it just doesn't really matter. It's just vodka based with sparkling fucking ice. And,
vodka and something
know,
to fill it up with.
Yeah, vodka and something.
Top off the glass.
To me, it matters so little that I usually just drink it with water and a lemon slice.
So, Tony, what are you drinking over there then? Because I think we should save me for last for a giant joke.
Well, I did already since I went first and said I was drinking the two-hearted from Bell's.
You can tell.
But I wouldn't say anything like that to throw you under the bus. So go ahead and tell us what you're drinking.
Well, we still have the Jim Beam and the Coke, but I haven't poured in the Jim Beam yet because it's 250, boys. We got to go a little bigger.
Oh, boy.
Not as big as your head.
Get up. Get a jug of whiskey.
Yeah, and a nice...
1999 at Albertson's out here, guys. I can tell just by the size of it because I've got one downstairs, too.
Yep. Good old... it's only $40, dude.
That's what she said.
$40, you overpaid.
All right, folks, that's what we're drinking today. Well, I kind of messed it up. DP, let's let it... 250 times, you think you'd know what the fuck you were doing. We do the same shit every single time. DP, let's let everybody know what's happening this week on the DWI podcast. What a great recovery.
But do we?
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
It is the 250th.
Sheet.
Angels. Yeah, just angels. We're going to talk a little bit of wrestling. Hell in a Cell. Maybe we'll get to some AEW. Maybe we'll touch on Bound for Glory. I don't know. We're just kind of shooting the shit today. I'm glad Dave is here for episode 250. We got trivia. Dave, you're not a guest anymore. You're officially the best friend of the program. So it's all hands on deck here. We're going after you. It doesn't mean you get to win trivia this week. And we'll have a last call that
I ever won trivia.
You won it last time you were on.
He did.
Oh, never.
Yeah. He did. It was a streak of guests winning trivia. It was total BS.
Yeah. Total BS.
Always and forever.
And a last call that I couldn't even tell you about what it's about right now if I wanted to. DPP, ring the bell. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet. That's kind of a riddle. No? Okay.
I got it.
That riddle?
Got it. Dude. Yo, we could start there.
Bro.
Hey, how about Seth Rollins telling him to go pound sand? Let's talk about that. I got to get another beer. Go ahead.
Oh, God. I didn't even watch Raw. He literally told him to go pound sand? Because I know they had like
backstage sort of stuff. Like, what wasn't it on Raw Talk or some shit like that, DP, where Seth was like, I've got no interest in ever facing Matt Riddle in the ring? Because I guess... Matt Riddle's wife criticized Becky's physique, and I'm just like, are you in the ring? I don't see you in the ring. Are you the man? Did you main event WrestleMania? Who the hell are you? So that's what I understood was going on. Maybe somebody heard something different.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't. So you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
I heard something backstage happen with Rollins and Riddle. I didn't think that Rollins legitimately said to him, like, go F yourself.
Well, all I know is that they asked him about possibly working with Riddle or something. This was like a tweet or on the show or something. He said something about he's heading to Raw, so it doesn't matter anyway. I don't really ever plan on working with him in my career. That's pretty much. There's a lot of guys like that. I mean, talent-wise, look at AJ Styles has been having some great matches with him, right? I mean, the guy looks like he can work. The guy looks like he sells to people, and he does right in the ring. Do you think it's the whole thing in the back where, granted, it's different in the back now. It's not like it used to be. It used to be so stringent and, you know, kind of more run by fear and you know, earning your stripes back there as opposed to now, not so much. you know, less hazing kind of era and things of that nature. But at the same time, do you think maybe he's too brash to the people at the top and it kind of turned all the top guys off?
I told him I'd heard it was that I'd heard Riddle's wife had made a comment about Becky's physique that Seth did not take too kindly to. And that's why I was saying when you were gone, I was like, who the hell is Matt Riddle's wife? Has she ever stepped in the ring? Did she main event WrestleMania? Was she the man? Who gives a shit what she thinks? But yeah, getting back to your point, I think Riddle's personality is the type of personality that is going to rub. I mean, when you're talking about pissing off Brock Lesnar, bad idea. Goldberg, not much of a better idea. And then you're pissing off now Seth Rollins too. You're probably doing something wrong, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when you poke bears too many times, sooner or later you're going to get bit. So
you just threw Matt Riddle out there, and I know there have been talks like that. And I had noticed it, and when I had heard these different things and this story going on, my ears perked up. So I thought we'd hit that real quick. Here's how I wanted to start this. The Red Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
What is just like your opinion, man, of the Red Hell in a Cell? Around the horn.
Fine. That's about it.
You go to hell, Adrian. What do you think?
I mean, I'm not a fan of it, especially with that fucking Fiend Seth Rollins match with the red lighting. That was just... Yeah, I mean, it's a cage. We originally had a blue cage. Who cares what color it is?
Well, you don't care enough either. Fuck you, Dave. Come on, give me your...
I'm very upset about it, PC.
Yeah,
I mean,
there we go.
That's my best friend.
What AJ's saying is true, though. It does make you look at it and say, yeah, we're gonna get the Fiend red lighting the whole pay-per-view, and it's going to be all kinds of fucked up. I don't care. I mean, if they're going to make a red cage, make it green, make it brown, make it fluorescent pink. Fluorescent pink might actually be cool, though. But otherwise, you know, whatever.
We won't get the red lighting.
Hopefully not. You never know. DP, it's 2020, so you don't know.
Yeah, that's what true. I don't know what Vince McMahon's going to do.
To me, the cage is ominous enough in and of itself. So if you just use the regular coloring, it's easier to watch, in my opinion. Right? Like, my brain processes and fills in the space on the action where the cage is in front of it, because 75 to 80% of what you're watching is the camera angle from outside of the cage, right? So for me, in my eye, it's easier for me to watch that match still knowing that the cage, you can't not know that it's there. But to me, it's harder to follow things. Does anybody else get that, you know, aesthetics? Does anybody else have that play in their head like that, or am I just crazy? I mean, don't answer the crazy thing, answer the cage thing.
I mean, yeah, no, you're not wrong where it's distracting, where it's a different color and it's like, okay, maybe someone has like red tights or something, so you can't really see something, or like there's something red in their attire. So I get what you're saying. I mean, the cage, if it was just a normal cage, it would be fine. Red, kind of tacky because they're supposed to be in hell, but
Is that, does this affect anything? Like, this is obviously a weird question, I guess, but what about colorblindness? I mean, colorblind people don't see red. They're going to see kind of an off color. Does that, you know, make any effect, any difference?
I would imagine that, much like Platt and Boaz do not placate to midgets in their presidential campaigns, WWE could give a flying fuck whether or not you're colorblind.
They could
that's
give
really
a fuck
it's on
about
their website for their platform.
Good callback.
Ask your brother. That's
I know.
True story.
Good callback. I know. I know the entire story behind it.
They told me they had a short agenda.
God. Well. That's their opinion, man.
And that's been another edition.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
We got four matches on this card. Where do you guys want to start? You want to start off with Elias and Jeff Hardy? Elias still thinks Jeff Hardy hit him with the car. Elias came out and had a mini concert on TV on Monday. I don't know. I'm glad Elias is back. I think he's one of their better characters. What do you think, Dave?
Elias and Jeff Hardy? Shit, I don't. This is like one of the matches of the card. I know there's only like four matches that we've announced, but like Elias and Jeff Hardy is like the one I care the very least about. You know, it's like, I'm glad Elias is back and now he's got a full band backing him up and Jeff Hardy steals a guitar and rocks out. But yeah. What is the deal with these guys? I mean, Elias still thinks Jeff Hardy hit him, even though we know it was Sheamus or somebody who was drunk. And I don't get it, man. Go ahead, AJ. I mean, if you got anything to add to this thing, this is a feud that just is like, Jeff Hardy was just the Intercontinental Champion, and now this, and who, my big thing is, as I said many times, is who cares?
See, no, I raised my hand because you said whoever's drunk. That's why I raised my hand.
Well, yeah, of course.
I did it for the Jack.
I did it for the Jack. I did it for Jim Beam. No, but
I did it for The Rock.
I did it for The Rock.
I did this for you.
Shut your mouth, you thong wearing fatty.
Thank you. But I mean, the only thing that I'm happy about with Elias is they're not. They made sure that he's not Jeff Jarrett 2.0. They actually showed, like, hey, he can play the guitar, not just smash it against someone's head or anything like that. So the match should be fine, should be serviceable. But for something that's like, yeah, this is going to be at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, is this on the pre-show? This seems like a pre-show match.
Absolutely.
I like the ending. DP, I like the ending to his concert. Thank you. I love none of you.
Yes. It's great. And that's, I'm happy that he's back. I'm glad to see him back. And the thing that kills me is they kind of rushed into it a bit here. Obviously we know Jeff Hardy isn't the official culprit. So I don't know how they're going to end the story. If we assume it's Sheamus that did this, then does that mean Elias is going to turn babyface again? And it just, I don't know. It seems like he's a better heel than a babyface, just with his character and everything he does. He's really great at it. I kind of hope they are going to evolve his character a little more rather than just doing the same concerts like he used to do. You know, do a little bit more, but I love the inclusion of the guitar because it has been a while since, you know, Jeff Jarrett or Honky Tonk Man when we had a guy smash people with guitars, so I'm down for that. But, this seems like more, it should be the pre-show match type of thing, but we've only got four matches so far, so who the hell knows? But definitely happy to see him back. I'm glad he's, you know, was he actually have any injury, or was it just to get that record out? Was that the whole reason he took all this time off?
I thought he was hurt, but I could be wrong again.
Yeah. I think he might have been hurt. I don't know. Is this a real record? Is he really a rock star? Is WWE like gonna float the boat for him, put concerts on for him, and you know, whatever is this, are they getting into promoting Elias business? You know, that's Vince McMahon's real dream, was to be a rock star. I mean, that's look right. At all the shit he did in the 80s, right?
Well, I mean,
at least you never had that awesome mullet like some of these guys did.
Everybody else in the 80s.
Yeah, the Rock and Roll Express. Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson. Look at those mullets.
Still yes. Got them, baby. Still rocking and rolling them.
Still rocking. Still have them.
AJ, you should grow your hair.
Only it's
mullet.
Like,
God, be awesome.
Instead of business in front and party in the back, it's like old in front and party in the
balding
back.
Balding in the back. Balding in the front, party in the back.
Oh, God. Paul Heyman?
Oh, shit.
Austin in the front, party in the back.
And Big Dave, my hair was long, remember?
I do remember. But you didn't go full mullet, man. You need to embrace your inner 80s, AJ.
I need to embrace the 80s? Okay.
You should. Things were better back then. Simpler, right?
Yeah, we were all younger. Let's put it that way. The younger you are, the simpler things are.
That's right.
All right, before we get into the big three Hell in a Cell matches, I just want to ask around the horn if you guys have any thoughts or opinions on Retribution. They're on a brand. They're having matches. Ali is their guy. He's been the guy all along, which makes sense and everything else with what he was doing. How do you feel about what they're doing with them and what has just happened? AJ.
I'm just happy that they finally sewed in that hacker gimmick where everyone was like, oh, it's CM Punk, it's this. It's like Mustafa Ali's like, I was the hacker on SmackDown to scout everyone who's been wronged and needs retribution and everything. So I was actually happy that they finally told us who that stupid hacker was so we don't have to hear more dirt sheets about things. But Retribution, I mean, Mustafa Ali being the leader is a good thing.
Filth.
Let's see what else. I mean, they've been doing good. The only thing that I don't like is the fact that they brought Mercedes Martinez back to NXT and kicked her out, because that would have been really good competition for the women's tag titles.
No, but that's where, okay, the Buccaneers have signed Antonio Brown to a 1-year deal. It's
okay. Yeah, I saw that because I on my phone.
There you go. Bucks are, where's the Super Bowl this year?
Tampa.
Aha, there it is. No, just kidding, Tony. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. It's all good. Let's put it this way. It would have made too much sense for Retribution to have two women that should be working together in the tag team division. That's why they didn't want to do that, AJ.
I mean, that...
Because, well, they break up Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, right?
And then they put them in another tag team match.
Well, I think it's because her and Lacey might start a program here, and I'm hoping. Otherwise, to break them up and to put her in another tag team, and then you got Dana Brooke coming out with Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose and Peyton Royce look exactly the fucking same right now. They're like the same looking person.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that, but if you watch later on Raw, because I actually did see some of it, Miz actually tied that up too, where he was like, I made sure that Tucker was on Raw and Mandy was going to be with Dana and they went to Raw and you stay in SmackDown.
Peyton Royce and Otis can be a thing now? Oh, yeah.
Talking about El Gran Gordo?
El Gran Gordo, sorry.
Tucker, who needs that perfect Ty Dillinger when you got Otis? Yeah.
Okay, let's move away from Otis and Tucky and let's get Dave's thoughts out. And let's get Dave's thoughts on Retribution.
Well, let's just say that Monday was not a good night for Retribution, was it?
They got
absolutely obliterated. First by the Hurt Business. Or let me clarify. First by Bobby Lashley. Then by the Fiend. So two guys annihilate this faction. And my thing is, like, when you got a guy, what is Dijakovic's name now? T-Bar? T-Bone? I don't even know.
Teabag.
Yeah, Teabag. DWI 250 getting teabagged. Because that's what happened to Retribution this week. They got teabagged by all these fuckers. I don't understand how do you establish these guys as anything more than a joke when you do something like what happened Monday night, when they just get absolutely destroyed by not one faction, not even factions, by two guys. You just run roughshod over all of them. I mean, I don't. So my thoughts on Retribution is it's over before it even got started. Mustafa Ali can cut a hell of a promo. Don't get me wrong. I love his promos. But how do you recover from that?
Why do you have your biggest, most, almost, I mean, in a way, your biggest, most established guy of your group be the one to look the worst, too?
Tap like, out.
Dijakovic is like, why don't you have Mace or Slapnuts fucking tap out or something?
Or have Ali tap out to the Hurt Lock. That makes sense.
It just I didn't get it. DP, are you on this line of thinking here? Is this kind of where you were waiting to go in this direction too?
100%. I was going to say the moment they named them, that faction was dead. I mean, when you came up, yeah, whatever it was, you know, Slapnuts and Peacunt and Cross Stitch and whatever.
Peacunt. Teabag. Wow.
Whatever else.
Jesus, you know. Steven, ring that bell.
Billy Butcher.
DWI episode 250.
Holy shit.
DPP said Peacunt.
Billy Butcher managing.
That's Billy Butcher. Is that a female peacock? Is a pecan?
Hey, gotta look at the feathers.
Peacocks and pecans.
You gotta count the feathers.
DWI 250. I saw a pecan. There you go.
I mean,
DP saw a pecan.
The second they named him, it was like they're doomed. That's it. That is over. And yeah, then here we are this week, and a heel Hurt Business faction, you know, taps out, like you said, the biggest guy in there, Dijakovic, for some reason. Then a heel, you know, Fiend destroys them by himself. You know, why do I care about this faction anymore at this point? Like, they should have been just beating the shit out of everybody like they were, and continued to do that now that you have identified them, and they should have been on their way as this. And then Ali comes in, boom, I'm the leader, and they just go run roughshod and continue to do that until somebody finally steps up, and he didn't do it. One week later, you destroyed him, basically. And why, you know, what's the point then? Why, you know, it's what they do. It's what Vince does with factions at this point.
Right. They are 2020's version of the social outcast. Remember that travesty that they did a couple years ago, Adam Rose and Heath Slater and all that bullshit? And you felt like, okay, this is something that they got these misfits that they banded together. They're going to actually do something. Nope. They were just fed to everybody else. And this is what Retribution feels like. It is a new version of the social outcast. You can call them Retribution all you want. Might as well call them Revocation with how badly they were worked on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys seen the meme before where it's like the kid and the mom talk to each other, and it's like, mom, I want this. And then mom's like, we have this at home. And then it shows what it is. This is basically, mom, I want the Nexus. We have the Nexus at home. This is the Nexus at home, because they're just, they went on a rampage. They're going to destroy all of WWE, get rid of all the toxicity and whatever. And you're not impressing me at all. Like, you have great talent as your faction, but you don't know how to execute them perfect.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because you now have two heel factions on Raw. Where's the babyface faction? I mean, does that mean the Hurt Business could turn face at some point? I could see that happening, sure, but right now, no. I don't know. It's a weird dynamic. It's kind of why I wanted to throw that topic around the horn. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break and hit those big three Hell in a Cell matches when we get back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Gentlemen, Randy Orton taking on Drew McIntyre. I've enjoyed this rivalry. I've enjoyed the long-lastingness of the feud, the work these two do together. I believe Randy Orton has done some really good work on the mic, and I think Drew McIntyre, while I don't appreciate everything word for word that he's done, I think he's grown more into his character in speaking, especially directly to the WWE Universe. The plan, apparently, if you read the filthiest of the nastiest of sheets, is that down the road we're looking at an Orton-Edge matchup at WrestleMania, possibly for the title. That means Orton's got to win the title here at some point. I don't know. He's not a betting favorite to win this match. Do any of you see Randy Orton winning the title here? I would love to see it personally. I don't think it does a whole hell of a lot for Drew McIntyre. And that's why I think, DP, that Drew McIntyre is going to hold on to this title here.
Yeah, I bet on Randy Orton at Clash of Champions to win that thing. I thought that was the time for him. And basically, you know, that obviously didn't happen. And at this point, this seems like this is basically the last match of the feud. So if Randy Orton would win it here, you would assume there'd be another match between the two. And I don't see that happening unless they did a quick rematch on a Raw or something like that. And apparently rematch clauses are back in the books, so he could invoke a rematch clause, but I just, man, I really wanted Randy. I'm on the same boat. I wanted Randy Orton to win it. I thought that with everything he's been doing, and he's been doing such a great job right now, and is back to being that legend killer and rejuvenated, it would seem. And this would be a great chance for him to, you know, hold the title one more time at least. But it certainly doesn't seem like they're going that way. So I'm betting on Drew McIntyre to win this one. Unfortunately, I guess unfortunately, but not that Drew McIntyre's been a bad champion or anything like that. It just, I thought with everything that Randy Orton was doing, it'd be a great opportunity for him to hold the title again for a while and get that Edge Randy Orton feud with a title behind it. So don't think that's going to happen though. I think McIntyre's holding on to this thing for a while longer now.
AJ?
I'm with DP on this one, where I wanted Randy to win at Clash of Champions, and then for some reason the ghosts of Legends Past wanted to fight him, and quite literally it seems like Orton killed the Legends. So I would like to see him win at Hell in a Cell, don't get me wrong. I like the idea that he actually pitched. I don't know if it was on like Sam Roberts, Sirius XM, or anything like that, but I like the idea of him and Cena having a match, preferably WrestleMania, trying to break Flair's streak. So I love that idea, and I also have seen the dirtiest of sheets because they need to go to a laundromat, but, you know, COVID, they might be closed. Filthy. Yeah, filthy, dirty sheets, yes. And, I mean, I would love to see Randy win this and go on to face Edge at, like, Royal Rumble or Mania or anything like that. So what do you think, Big Dave? Do you think Orton deserves this, or do you think Drew should hold on for a little longer?
Do I think Orton deserves this? Absolutely. But that's not going to happen. Because here are a couple things. One is, gentlemen, what's the pay-per-view coming up next after Hell in a Cell?
Survivor Series.
Indeed. Now, if you're trying to make a very big splash for Survivor Series and they follow kind of the format they've done in the past couple years with what they've been doing, and let's say NXT is involved, is there a bigger match out there right now than a Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, Finn Balor triple threat match?
Do you think they do that again? I don't like champions versus champions and stuff like
they
that. Might. I can
They might for brand supremacy, like they did a year that it wouldn't. They did that last year, didn't they? They were all triple threat matches and
stuff. Yeah, much like DP said though, that like the rematch clause is back in the books. It's always all in the books. It's whenever they want to pull on anything. There's a stipulation to justify anything. Oh, it's the brand re-justification crossover that I can be here tonight. It's, you know, yeah, do I want to see that match, Dave? For sure, but I would rather see, Randy Orton win the title, have him say, you know what, if you want to get a rematch at this title, Drew, your best team against my best team. Okay, so McIntyre beats Orton at Survivor Series, but teams, and then December is the blow off, and then you start over in January. I don't know, I'd rather see that. Would I want to see Finn versus, you know, McIntyre, you know, versus Roman? Of course, that would be awesome.
So I do think they're going to go in that direction, and that's why one reason I'm hedging my bet on Drew. But the other one is like, okay, unlike the match we're going to talk about in a little bit, Sasha and Bayley, which is kind of like at the beginning more or less, Drew and Randy, this feels like the end, because they've had all these matches. You know, Randy couldn't do it at, I don't know, what was it, the horror show or some shit like that. I forget the first one he did it at. Or no, SummerSlam. And then he couldn't get it done at Clash of Champions.
You'll never see it coming.
That's right. You'll never see it
coming.
Except
for you.
That's right. I saw it coming.
Except for if you win, you go to the WWE Network and watch it again.
That's right. Then you'll see it all day long. But I just feel like this is the end of the feud. And I don't see that, you know, if Randy couldn't beat him in a straight up match and he couldn't beat him in an ambulance match, then yes, Randy's got much more experience than Drew in Hell in a Cell. This is Drew's first Hell in a Cell match, as far as I can recall. So he's got the experience, but I don't think it's and that's never stopped them, the believability aspect of it. But this is Drew's moment to really solidify his title reign. I was with you guys last time. I thought Clash of Champions, Randy's going to be the leader of Retribution. They'll beat down Drew, throw him in the ambulance, and that would make sense. They didn't do that. I don't see Randy Orton beating Drew McIntyre inside Hell in a Cell, absent something really off the rails, like something that we really aren't seeing coming actually happening. But I just think at this point, this is the end of this feud. I've been with you guys. I mean, I've felt a lot of the same stuff you guys have felt, that Randy deserves this. He's putting in the work. He deserves another run with this thing. I just don't see him doing it anymore. I think they would have pulled the trigger and maybe had Randy survive at Hell in a Cell if he'd won it last time. But I don't see them making the title switch here to Hell in a Cell in this type of match. My money's on Drew McIntyre as well.
I want to save that women's match for last. Let's transition into Roman versus Jay. Now, I want to touch on something that DP has firm thoughts and beliefs in, the fact that he doesn't like that Hell in a Cell is a pay-per-view. He wishes they would use the Hell in a Cell match at different pay-per-views to accentuate the meaningfulness of that match. Much in the same way that I don't think there should be more than one Hell in a Cell match at this pay-per-view, let alone not only are we having one, we're having three. And one of them has to have an additional stipulation. That's how overused you are using the gimmick of Hell in a Cell here. That's what really bugs me about it. I don't understand why can't they just have an I Quit match then instead of the Hell in a Cell? Why can't they leave that for the other two, right? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see any of you really disagreeing with what I'm saying, so I guess we'll just kind of talk about what's going on with the match here. I was hoping in some form or fashion we'd end up with the family, and that doesn't seem, or the bloodline, and that doesn't seem like it's happening. Because honestly, we're going to find out what the stipulation is tonight, and Naomi's on Raw, and WWE's and Amy plans of splitting up Jimmy and Jay. So I would almost bet dollars to donuts, and for all you youngins, that's a phrase that people used to use when they were very confident about betting on something, that the stipulation is going to be loser leaves SmackDown, and the Usos are going to end up as a tag team on Raw, Naomi's on Raw. I know they're not traveling, so it doesn't mean as much to keep those couples apart, but Dave, this is kind of what I'm looking at for this kind of thing, what's going to happen here between Jay and Roman.
Yeah, I'm curious what the stipulation. Remember, Roman said the stakes will never be higher. So what could that possibly mean? I mean, this is WWE, so they say stuff like that, and the stakes could never be higher means I get to go to the bathroom before you do for the rest of our lives. You know, they could do stupid shit like that.
You have to buy me a steak.
That's right. You have to give me a 20-ounce porterhouse bloody. All right, we'll talk AEW later on. But
that doesn't sound bad, though.
Doesn't sound good either. But, you know, that's just me. I don't know what the stipulation is going to be, but it makes sense. I saw somebody had posted something that was kind of cool, like Naomi getting her in the Hurt Business. That'd be kind of cool. She would be an excellent fit for that faction. But barring something like that happening, loser leaves SmackDown just is so cliche and so easy and lazy, which is why it probably will happen, because we're talking WWE and lazy booking, and there you go. So ring the bell for that one, DP.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know what they're going to do, Tony. I mean, it seems like that's a thing, or I mean, what else could they have in mind? I mean, Roman wants to assert himself
as a sponge bathe Paul Heyman if he loses.
Oh,
wow.
I am the walrus.
There's not enough liquor therapy in the world to undo that.
This took a dark turn all of a sudden, man.
Hey, try not to shoot that puck up my pooper.
Walrus. Are we talking Paul Heyman, or are we talking Andy Reid?
I mean, I want to know what you guys think. What stipulation could they possibly do that would measure up to Roman saying the stakes could never be higher? Because, yeah, leaving SmackDown's no big deal. Yeah, if you lose, you have to go to AEW. Okay.
Done. The only other thing I can see besides the loser leaves SmackDown, which I'm going to guess is going to be the stipulation, like PC said, is that, you know, hey, if you lose, you and your brother are going to be my underlings. And that's how they get the family going, is you're going to have to do my bidding. You're going to be my security team, whatever, you know, like, you know, J&J security or whatever. You're going to be part of my family. Ooh,
they
my
could be
faction.
The new J&J security.
They could be J&J security.
So I think, other than that, that's the only other thing. That's it. That's the only other thing I could see him doing, is hey, then that's how they get them turned and be part of the faction and do the whole family thing where they're reluctant. They're not happy to be part of it. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, this is fucking kick ass. Let's do it. Let's destroy everybody and, you know, break stuff and leave. Or what's the shirt say? You know, let's do it and
wreck everything and leave.
Wreck everything and leave.
Shit, wipe, repeat.
Shit, wipe, repeat. Put that on a shirt. DWI needs a shirt.
Yeah.
DWI 250. Shit, wipe, repeat. There you go, Tony.
Jesus, we're getting so much into this.
I don't name the DWI podcast.
But
oh boy,
that's the only other thing I could see him doing. You know, besides that, you know, like the same thing they're doing with like Killian Dane and Drake Maverick and NXT, where Dane is just not having any of the tag team thing, but is slowly being like, yeah, we can, let's do this, you know, type of thing. So I could see him saying, hey, if you lose, you know, you're going to do my bidding. And then that's how we get that group together.
Yeah, I can see that happening, where it's you're the underlings now, or you have to say I'm the tribal chief, or you're going to get fired or something like that as the stipulation, because that was the whole thing with Clash of Champions or Night of Champions, whatever you want to call it. God, WCW's got my
Clash
brain
of the Night.
Messed up. The last pay-per-view.
Clash of Havoc. There you go.
Clash of Havoc. We're not talking about... Never mind. Anyway.
Great Balls of Champions.
God damn it. Stop. Anyway.
Night of Fire.
Anyway. So I can see the underling storyline, or they have to say he's the tribal chief and then begrudgingly join him because it's, maybe there might be some truth to what he's saying, wreck everything and leave. Paul Heyman might have a point, yada, yada, yada. But I can see something else being super cheesy, where it's like none of the Usos can get a world title shot or a universal title shot, so... I mean,
does that matter? Do we ever even see any of them ever getting a title shot to begin with? Like,
no.
Granted, I mean, that's why I wish this wasn't an I Quit Hell in a Cell match, like, and a night where there's two other Hell in a Cell matches, because because Jay and Roman can work together too, right? Give them that amount of time, give them that stipulation. Don't take it away from the Cell. Just have an I Quit match. They could be much, much better. I'm not really sorry for interrupting you, but professionally I will say I'm sorry.
Oh, they could go all over the place with that match if they wanted to. They don't have to stay inside the ring or anything then, which they might do anyway.
No disqualification match.
An I Quit match allows them to go wherever they want. No disqualification,
falls count anywhere.
I want to see Jay like beat his ass as the Hell in a Cell is coming down, and then knocks him down, and the Cell just pins him to the ground, and he pins him. It's like, ah, fuck you.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I figured it out.
That and I Quit match.
They're going to bring back the Kiss
Roman Reigns again? They're going to bring Roman Reigns back again?
The loser has to kiss the other's ass. So it's going to be the kiss my ass match.
Oh, God.
Kiss Paul's ass.
Oh, there you go. Now, that's. Now, those stakes could not be possibly any higher. You got it, Tunny. That is the answer right there. Loser kisses Paul's ass.
After each Chipotle or something like that.
Chipotle, jeez.
Do it. Go ahead. Kiss my ass. Kiss my ass, Jay. I just had guacamole and carne asada. Do it.
That's a perfect way to end that topic. We got one more match to talk about, and I want to leave the ladies for last. It's been a long story, and now, Dave, I know you think this is the beginning, but this is to be easily the beginning of the end, though. I mean, how much longer are they going to go with this? Sasha is a pretty big betting favorite. She is possibly a Jedi. and does have a show premiering a week from today.
Yep.
I am on record. Visual print that you can see in a group. I'm not at all sure who's in that group, if any of you are or not. But I said Sasha Banks will win the title using a Jedi mind trick this Sunday.
That would be cool.
It's not going to happen, but hey,
that'd be great. Ring the bell. She just force chokes Bailey until she's unconscious, pins her, leaves. Now that'd be awesome.
See, now if this was a ladder match, that would be cool, where Bailey's like climbing the ladder and Sasha just Jedi mind tricks that pushed up like Stone Cold style, where it's like, oh yeah, no, you're not going to get the belt. No, I'm trying to. No, oh, come on. And then just pushes her over on the ladder or something like that. That would be cool. I highly doubt they'd do that, but that would be cool.
All right, there's your Bandwagon Nerds plug. Go to @BandwagonNerds on the Twitter. Make sure you check the show out every Monday on thechairshot.com. I know you guys are doing, what, top 10 villains right now throughout a couple different genres. 5 weeks of villains.
4 weeks of villains. And yeah, this week is the top 50 villains who aren't Marvel or DC,
okay,
which is a little difficult of a topic. Ray's got his figured out, but wow. This is our 50th episode coming up this weekend. So I think DP needs to return. You know, he's got to be there for 50. Tony's got to be there for 50.
Say,
I mean,
you're doing 50? Top 50? 50?
You guys,
as DPP goes to get more alcohol, yes, 50.
I'll come on towards the end of The Mandalorian and speak my... The only, you know what? Honestly, sometimes, though, I'm like, even if I don't want to talk, sometimes I just want to come on and listen to the show because it's the best time for me to listen to the show. Otherwise, I don't listen to the show. So don't make that mistake, folks. TheChairShot.com. Check out Bandwagon Nerds. That's what they got going on over yonder. DP, don't worry. We'll get to a winner as you before the show is over here. Check that out as well. Video games, et cetera, et cetera. All right.
That's all I care about.
Back to wrestling. That's all I care about is my show. Winner is you. Fuck you guys. I got 2 shirts. Y'all can go to hell. All right.
God, we need a shirt guy.
I don't have any shirts.
You don't have any. We never got a shirt.
I do really good podcasting.
Yeah, I'll make one.
That's right. You are an extraordinary podcaster.
Yeah, that's
Mr. Tony.
That's what I like to tell everybody. So, Sasha and Bailey. I don't know what kind of narrative are you guys, Dave, you're the one who said you think this is still the beginning of possibly the end or the beginning of the middle. I'm not sure what part you thought it was the beginning of, because it's definitely not the beginning of the beginning.
I mean, they've had since the breakup that one truncated match on SmackDown, right? And that's it. And now here we are, Hell in a Cell match. And yes, I understand that there is a enormous amount of backstory, and they've slow burned this, and putting them inside Hell in a Cell makes all the sense in the world. It really does. I'm struggling thinking that this is, you know, that this is where it ends. And the thing is, it's like, I think we've all said it before. Hell in a Cell is supposed to be like feud enders. Like, remember last year that travesty with The Fiend and Seth Rollins? It's like Hell in a Cell is supposed to be a feud ender, not a match that leaves everything up in the air. So that we send everybody over to Saudi Arabia and solve it over there. We know that's not happening this year with Sasha and Bayley. And I want to go with the betting odds on this thing and say, yeah, this is Sasha's match. She's got to get revenge. She's got to, you know, Bayley's held the title forever. Something tells me she's not going to win this thing, though. And this is going to drag out for, I would not be surprised if they drag this out to WrestleMania and finally have Sasha get her payoff there. But this is a really hard one for me, guys. I mean, I'm straight up because I want to pick Sasha. I really do. But it just feels like the wrong time to pick her, if that makes any sense to you guys. It doesn't feel like this is the match. I mean, I don't know. What's her success rate inside Hell in a Cell? She's had 2 matches, Becky and Charlotte, lost both of them. So she doesn't have the best track record. I know there has not been hardly any women's Hell in a Cell matches. Sasha's been in all of them, right? At this point, she'll have been in all of them. And now she'll have gone against all of the other three horsewomen inside Hell in a Cell. Maybe they're trying to tell a story that Sasha can't beat the other horsewomen inside Hell in a Cell. I don't know. Where'd Charlotte get drafted to? I forget. Was she Raw or SmackDown?
I don't think she got drafted.
She's on Raw.
She got drafted.
SmackDown.
She's on Raw.
She's on Raw.
Raw.
Raw desperately needs Charlotte to come.
Listen.
Back, but...
And here we are with the D part of DWI podcast with Drunken.
She's not
drafted.
We're not going to do this today, so. It's not my fault.
How are we going to do this?
Dance break. Blame it on the blues. Got you feeling loose. Blame it on the drunk. Got you feeling drunk. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol. Okay, it's coming down. Go ahead, Dave.
I mean, I'm going to, by the narrowest margins, pick Bailey to retain here just because I don't think this is ending. I think this goes on maybe to WrestleMania. I mean, really, what else does SmackDown? Who else is on SmackDown who you even give a shit about in the women's division? Toddy's like thinking, anybody? Bueller?
Oh, I was about to say it.
Bueller? Because that's all they've got. Sasha and Bailey, and then it's just, there's nothing.
To be fair, I really don't know who the fuck's on which brand right now.
I don't either. I don't either.
That's kind of one of the biggest problems I have.
This is a tough year to figure that out, especially with everybody. Yeah. A lot of people gone just because, and then a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, you got Becky COVID, making so. Babies. You got Charlotte going to Raw. You got Asuka on Raw. You got Shayna and Nia. I don't know which freaking brand they're on, but I'm figuring they're Raw as well. Alexa went over to Raw. You know,
Carmella.
Peyton's on Raw. Carmella. Oh, yeah, Carmella. She's who I want to see
on
take
right?
on Sasha Banks or Bayley.
No. You know,
so if that's really all that you've got, then this can't be the end because you've got to buy yourself time to get something built up so that you have some sort of credible challenger. Either you're bringing somebody from NXT like Rhea, or you're putting Mercedes Martinez on there who would be a credible challenger for Bayley or for Sasha. Or you know, Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, any Io Shirai, any number of the women on NXT you could inject into the SmackDown, but you need time to do that. And I think having Bayley win and stretching this out buys them that time because there's nothing else there right now. So there, and I almost talked myself into believing my own bullshit. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we've been talking about this over the past couple of months and trying to kind of book what was going to happen, and I think, you know, I was on board with this should eventually end at WrestleMania. We kind of had the idea of Sasha, you know, getting drafted to Raw and this was being her last chance. And then the only other shot she has is getting at Bayley is to win the Royal Rumble. Yeah, Cheesy Pete's. That's 250 for you.
How many drinks have you had, EP? Just curious.
I lost count after six. It was a long work
day. Nice.
The science of ethanol, folks, right here on DWI 250.
The science of being able to work from home every day, and when you have to work on those Fridays, I'm just saying it's a Friday.
I hear you, man. I keep wanting to call into court drunk one day, but I'm like, I better not do that. Anyway, go ahead, DP.
Oh, my God. We find the defendant
thirsty.
Not guilty? Thirsty! I need another beer.
You know,
this whole proceedings out of order!
You want the truth? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth! Because when you reach over and stick your hand into a pile of goo, that was your best friend's face! Y'all don't know what to do. Forget
it,
Marge.
I would like an hour recess
it's
because
Chinatown.
Half the hour will be over in an hour.
Nice, AJ. Very good. DP, you
Sasha,
had a thought. I know you were going with something
so
there.
So Sasha.
The alcohol interfered.
Yeah. So Sasha did not get drafted to Raw as we expected, or as I was kind of hoping to play out that whole bit, and would have gotten us an opportunity to get to WrestleMania for this whole thing. So, yeah, it just leaves me to wonder what they're going to do then, you know, because if they're both going to be on the same brand, they can have this feud go out for a couple pay-per-views here and end it before WrestleMania, which is a little unfortunate, but again, they could do another stipulation type of thing like Roman's doing, where this is your last shot at, you know, at my title, Sasha. You got it at Survivor Series or something. This is your last chance, and if you don't win, that's it. And then she has to get through the Royal Rumble to win it, or to get another opportunity. That's her only opportunity. So I still think they're going to go with that plan. I like that idea. I hope they do it. So I'm going with Bayley to continue holding this title.
I mean, I feel like Sasha has to win it for the payoff for this one, in all honesty. Like, I guess we're going to go with third time's the charm since she's faced the other two horsewomen. But again, I think we all agree that our Mania idea would have probably been better, where she got drafted to Raw, wins the Royal Rumble, faces Bayley at faces Bayley for the SmackDown title at Mania. That's how you save that. But
what?
I feel like they have to give it to Sasha, especially since, you know, she's going to be on The Mandalorian, even though her episode might not be the first one that's going to premiere on October 30th on Disney Plus. Go check it out. We're not sponsored by Disney Plus, but we love Star Wars enough. So.
We should be sponsored by Disney. Disney, we will gladly take your sponsorship. Why aren't we sponsored by Manscaped yet? They sponsor every other wrestling podcast in the fucking world. Why is not one Chair Shot show or Attitude of Aggression or DWI sponsored by Manscaped? I use your products. I shave my balls. I can pimp your shit. So come on. Anyway.
DWI 250. Dave shaves his balls. That's Jesus, it.
Right now. So James, God. I mean, come on. For the past month, I've been clean shaven.
Are you using the lawnmower on your face?
No, I can't grow facial hair to save a fish from drowning. What are you talking about?
All bullshitting aside about Manscaped, they are a good company. They send you replacement blades whether you want them or not. They say, here, we know your shit's all fucked up, so here's a replacement blade. I'm like,
and they charge you for it?
Of course. But it's, I'm still like, they send it to you, and I'm like, thank you.
Thanks. I didn't get the full use out of this one, but I'll
here,
definitely
we charged your card. You can have this.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Manscaped, MeUndies, something, Omaha Steaks.
But then they send you stuff that they don't even bother to tell you they're sending. It's like, oh, this is kind of a nice touch. You know, okay, sure. That'll work. Nice touch. Episode 250, nice touch. Nice touch. So, okay. The bad
toe
touch,
hair
the nice
plucker.
Touch.
What is this? What else did they send you?
AJ, reel us back in. We're going way down the.
We're going down the Manscaped hole. All right, come
What's
on.
Up with that?
Let's see.
There's a sponsorship to be had. Go ahead, AJ.
There is. I'm not denying that, but I feel like Sasha needs the payoff here.
Pineapple soda.
Garitos.
Disney Plus.
Oh my God.
Jim Beam.
Amount of shit that I buy. Yeah.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they could be a sponsor.
Yeah, let's not say that because I might get signed to a one-year deal if that's possible. I'm not complaining if I do, I'm just saying.
Okay, AJ Brown. Go ahead, man.
Are your neighbors making too much noise? Are you tired of listening to that garbage truck back up and empty that dumpster in the middle of the night? Then try, oh, my bucking ears. You just put them right over your ears at night and you won't be able to hear a thing. I couldn't hear a damn thing, and I slept great because of my bucking ears.
God, I wish that was a real thing. You've been listening to Andrew and I about our neighbors, haven't you?
It's kind of like right up there with that neck basket that they show on TV. But...
The neck basket, yeah.
Jesus. Anyway, Hell in a Cell, last match that we're discussing. Yes, yes, yes. Sasha versus Bayley for the SmackDown Women's title. I would like to see Sasha actually get the redemption that she deserves for this, because she's just been like completely shat on from Bayley. It's like, oh yeah, no, you're supposed to help me, and now you're not doing anything to help me. So I think Sasha should get the women's title after this. I mean, we all know her track record. As soon as she wins it, she's gonna lose it. So
that was gonna be my question.
I was gonna say that might be the story.
Well, that's gotta be part of the story. Then she's gonna have to win it, and that's kind of where I think they're gonna go. I think she's going to win. I think there's going to be some way that they're going to ignore the rematch clause And then the idea I pitched for Orton and McIntyre almost sounds more perfect for Bayley and Sasha, because at Survivor Series, Team Bayley versus Team Sasha, just it sounds like a perfect thing to do, right? And then that gets you into December, into a blow-off match, and then you can have it refuted in January at Royal Rumble. I don't know. You got to think at some point you're going to hear the line from Bayley, "I'm not worried that you beat me because I know I'm going to get my title back once I face you again, because you've never defended a title in your career." Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
That's exactly. That's got to be where they're going with the storyline here. So,
just to go off a little bit, I also agree with the whole, why do we have stipulation matches like Hell in a Cell or TLC and name them pay-per-views? Because isn't that the December pay-per-view TLC instead of having Armageddon?
I thought they stopped doing TLC last year. I thought it was something else.
I don't remember.
I thought they did TLC last year, didn't they?
Did they? Okay.
Well, he's looking it up right now.
I think they did.
That's usually the spot. He's not. He's looking at porn.
Awesome.
I can do both.
I mean, that just sounds...
Pornhub could be a sponsor, too. I'm just saying.
I'll endorse it. No,
magazines. We got some magazines and videos over there. Summer Monster Truck, Summer Porn.
Summer
Yeah, one that's both.
Summer Monster Truck, Summer Monster... anyway.
Yeah. TLC, December 15th, last year.
Let's not talk about what the AJ's opinion question was from last week that was going to be discussed, if anyone remembers.
I mean, what Tony says, though, let's say Sasha wins at Hell in a Cell and they hold off on the rematch to TLC. That would be a great way for Sasha to break her streak of not being able to defend, then to beat Bayley in a TLC match to retain the SmackDown title. And then we'll see where we are around the time of the Royal Rumble, when you're going to have Charlotte back, presumably, not Becky, but you're going to have Charlotte. And at that point, who knows? Do we get Ronda back? I know what I've heard, you know, the dirtiest of the dirt sheets, the nastiest, filthiest fucking things. Keep talking about Ronda versus Becky one-on-one at WrestleMania 37. I don't see how that's possible.
I don't even give you 50-50 that Becky's back for Mania.
Yeah. No, when is the baby due? December?
December.
Yeah, ain't gonna
I don't think you're going to be back in wrestling shape by April.
SummerSlam, maybe. Maybe
SummerSlam, maybe.
Maybe.
But
I could see her being off until 2022 Royal Rumble.
Why not?
That's 1 year. That's 13 months, her first kid. I mean, let's talk about real life, right? I mean, you're someone that's Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. Hopefully they're smart enough to have saved money now, where that's not even an issue, and to know where Becky's place is in this sport, not just as a woman, but as a wrestler overall. Whenever she's ready to come back, there will be a spot for her. Sorry, DP.
No, that's fine. My question was going to be, what has been the weapon of choice for Bayley during this latest part of the feud between Bayley and Sasha?
Oh, a chair.
A chair. TLC chairs match for the title. Yeah. I can totally see that.
Hey, at least both of them know to use their head.
And speaking of using your head, we hope you have enjoyed all of our wrestling conversation today, because that's about it. We're going to the gimmicks. We'll be right back.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Let's see. Dan's probably had at least about five today. Tony just went for another beer for his third. Dave, I don't know how you liquored up you are.
Not considering very, when we usually my liquor's all downstairs and it's too far of a walk.
Hard liquor?
So fuck.
That's I'm usually pretty gentle.
Liquor in the front, poker in the anyway.
Poker, I barely know her.
Listen, to only be popping my third beer right at this point in the show is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but how many before that?
None. I just started.
I was about to say, and this is my fourth Coke and Jim Beam, along with like two Modellos and a Miller High Life. So I guess that means it's phenomenal funky facts time, everybody!
Total BS.
I don't know why you're cheering. Yes. Dan won last week.
What? Did he?
He did. Remember, he got a lot of those questions right, especially since the majority of them were multiple choice.
Is this trivia or piss off Tunny?
Por que no los dos?
Por que no los dos? That is the name of the game, I think.
Por que no los dos, really?
No,
the name of the
Tunny.
Game is why not both in Spanish?
No, piss off Tunny. Piss off Tunny trivia.
Well, as
POTT, it's a big pot.
Ay, Dios mío. Anyway.
Pichi putos.
I know exactly what that means. No margarita included, unlike Tunny whenever he speaks Spanish. So, as we all know, three questions. Some of them are multiple answers, so 1 point for each answer correct. Dan, I know you won, but Dave, you haven't been on in a while, so I'll let you choose door number one, door number two, or door number three.
Oh, not a guest. He's my best friend.
Door number two.
Numero dos.
Yeah,
and I mean, I guess it's perfect since I am the NWA guy. UWN just had the NWA Television Championship defended. Good old D'Angelo De Niro, the Pope, Elijah Burke, just won the television title. Go check out my review on thechairshot.com. But we're gonna talk about the NWA. We're gonna talk about the television title.
I already got my answer written down.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Because this is closest without going over.
Damn it.
And I say without going over.
Would you write down Harley Race?
Flair.
Right church, wrong pew. Because we are going to talk about the television title and right church. Because Arn Anderson has the most combined days reigned as the television champion. How many days? Like I said, closest without going over.
And we're talking television champion, not just NWA television champion.
Television. Let's... NWA television that also includes WCW
Thank
lineage.
Thank you very much.
I'm not 100% sure if he won that or not.
We're talking days. How many days?
Many days. Combined days.
Play the music, Stalin Stallerson.
There's also a bonus question to this.
Oh, boy.
Fuck. Oh, come
on. I know.
I need to plug my... You're putting in a number. I gotta plug my shit into. Come on. It's not just winners, you three-man weave.
Oh,
pot is over and all that fun jazz. I gotta plug my...
God, I don't know. Alright, I'm going with that.
Go ahead, Tony. Say it.
It's just a number.
Know. Let me show it. Oh!
JP says 75. Tony says 721.
Yes, I think
Dave says 1,427. I did say close without going over, Dave. I am sorry. It's going to go to PC Tunny. He had the television title for 877 days combined.
That's really close. I was still the closest, regardless.
Oh, wow.
Why you...
I know. I said that.
Total BS the way I'm treated.
Oh, you
totally
still got,
you got a point.
Don't want to hear it. Yeah.
Punto, punto, punto. Es me punto.
Si, yes, you are. Anyway, no, I'm kidding.
Oh, I said point. Not punto, punto.
Oh, I didn't hear the end. Sorry. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But like I said, there's a bonus point to this. As in, there's another question. So, Arn Anderson might have the most combined reigns, or most combined days reigned, but who has the most reigns? Now, I'm going to help you out a little bit here. Remember, WCW also grabbed NWA's lineage for the television title. So you got to think WCW, too.
Boy. Yeah, well.
Yeah. giving a fuck.
Not sure. Maybe. I don't know. This can't be it, but I'm
I got no chance.
Well, let's see. All right. Tunney says Booker T.
Oh, come on.
Dave says Flair.
Damn it, Dave.
P says Flair. Oh, my God. Tunney, how do you do it, bud? It is Booker T that actually has the most with 6. Arn Anderson has 4. All right, let's go with a multi-question. Maybe Tunney might not get this. Who knows?
It's all over already.
Well,
I hate this.
And there's still 2 more questions. And Tunney, you're ahead. I'm not going to let you get this choice. Here we go.
Wow.
DPP. Door number 1 or door number 3?
Oh, wow.
Total BS!
Yeah.
All right, I'll take door number 1. Was it Stink Martin Fartendale? Stink Fartendale? Yeah, I'll take number 1.
There we go.
Flink Fartendale. Here, in honor of Booker T, though.
Tell me you did not just say that.
Well, in honor of Booker T, then.
Play that. Nice.
Sucker!
Tunney, I would have given you a point if you did a spin-a-rooney, not going to lie.
You can still do it, Tunney.
Still do a spin-a-rooney.
That sucker!
I'm already ahead by 2. I think we got this one, so we'll skip
it. You don't know this because what DPP, good old the scientist, he picked a multi-point question.
Of course.
So we're 12 points.
Multi-points when I'm up.
Exactly.
Yes.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. So
synchronicity there, Tunney.
Tunney, I know you wanted to skip it, but I need to bring it up a little bit. There are 4 wrestlers who took part in the very first Bound for Glory and will be part of Saturday's Bound for Glory. Name those 4 wrestlers.
God, I wish I was going to write the card down on the Big Show sheet, too, and I didn't.
You should have, bud. That would have been perfect.
We're going to be on this Bound for Glory that we're on the first Bound for Glory.
When was the first Bound for Glory?
The first Bound for Glory, I believe... Okay, don't start the music, because I don't really remember off the top of my head. I believe it was 2005. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't fuck knows. I don't know.
2005 was the very first Bound for Glory.
Oh, jeepy.
Been an impact that long or that many different times. Who's on this card?
I was about to say, you need to think of who's an impact right now. And I'll be nice. I'll be the nice brother. I'll be the good brother because I know they're going to be a Bound for Glory. Go check out my brother's reviews, Andrew Balaz, on his Impact reviews. You'll see him doing Bound for Glory on Saturday. You'll also see all of his Impact reviews on Tuesdays as well. Oh, come on. That was a good plug. Especially
I'm
calling
not, I'm trying to think. I'm not judging you right now. I'm thinking.
So there's 4 guys in the 2005 Bound for Glory in the 2020 Bound for Glory. Let's see if anyone could figure any of them out, really, in all honesty.
Here's my answers.
Oh, God, I got 1.
All right, so Tawny said EC3, Eddie Edwards, Moose, Rhino.
That's not bad.
I didn't even try.
Dave's not trying.
James Storm, that's the only one I got.
Dave didn't try, and Dan only put 1 answer. And Tunney actually put 1 of the correct answers being Rhino.
I'm up 3-0 now, bitches.
I believe Tunney's won this. I'm not even going to deny that. Tunney, I believe, won this. The 4
K-O-B-T-B,
people that...
TV, it's all over but the bragging right now. And brag away, I will. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, ooh, ooh.
The 4 people who are in the first and the current Bound for Glory were Rhino, which is what Tunney has said, Eric Young when he was part of Team Canada.
Oh, duh.
Alex Shelley, who was facing Sanjay Dutt, Austin Aries, and Roderick Strong in a four-way match on the Dark Show.
Austin Aries the other one?
Austin Aries is not the other one. The other one being good old...
JR?
Chris Sabin.
Oh, Chris Sabin. Yeah, the Motor City Machine Guns are in a, you know, a four-way tag match. I'm actually looking forward to the North, the Good Brothers, and who else?
The North, Motor City Machine Guns, the Good Brothers, and Ace Austin and Madman Fulton are the tag team event. Good job, Tony. Oh, my gosh. You're actually...
Oh, my
God. He's paying attention to TNA. He's learning. Oh, my gosh.
But why? No.
Oh, my God.
DP, are you watching TNA?
Is there one more question I can even get a bigger lead?
There is one more question, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny it. I'm not just saying this for Andrew's behalf because he's still working at the moment. I'm saying this due to the fact that TNA has actually been really good, especially with the Good Brothers just being goofy. Like, they're having a lot of fun, especially with Talkin' Shop Mania. After Impact this week, right after they had a full keg special afterward on Access, where they were talking like they have a new animated show that you can see on Instagram and Twitter. Aren't
they talking about doing Talkin' Shop Mania 2?
They are talking Shop Mania 2. I'm probably gonna cover that. Not gonna lie. And they were just having fun. They're the Good Brothers. Come on, have fun.
Dave is so bored with Impact right now. What's
No. I if I had the time to watch it, I would. But you know, between WWE and AEW, that's really as far as I want to go right now.
Which fair. I'm just saying, if you have an opportunity, if you have time, go check out Impact.
If you're telling me to watch, make a choice between Mandalorian or Impact. Sorry, Impact.
Yeah, that's Mandalorian, no matter what.
The new
Borat
movie's out.
That's nice.
I'll try to sell you on the main event. Eric Young defending the Impact title against Rich Swann.
All right, stop selling Impact and let's get to question three.
All right.
Call Rich Swann, Tony. Rich Schlong, that's right. Rich Schlong.
He might be rich in the Schlong department. You
hey,
never know.
That. Anyway, the last question of the night, the last question for today.
Also known as Tunney's Victory Lap.
Tunney's Victory Lap. Thank you, Kyle Petty, pulling it out of your ass.
Hang your head. Hang it. Hang it low.
Call me a Bluth.
So, closest without going over again.
Go work the banana stand.
Oh, my God.
There's always money in the banana stand.
Always. Burnt down. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, jeez. Closest without going over. How many Hell in a Cell matches have there been in WWE? And I'm not going to deny this.
Including this weekend?
Not including this weekend. And I will say this. Someone who doesn't really like the WWE product, guess the number accurately in Andrew.
I don't. I'm not sure. Yeah. I could be...
No. I think I know it. No.
I think I'm close without going over.
All right, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
No. I think I'm right. Are you? No.
Not even close.
Tip him over and blink Fartendale. Boom, boom.
I'm going to guess $1,000. I'm going to guess 1,001.
Wow, look at these.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's awesome.
Dave said 18. Tony said 19, but Tony's not going to get the shutout.
Yay.
Because Dan got a point with 20, even though he got half of the answer. It's actually 40. Come on, guys. We have an entire pay-per-view.
Yeah, I figured 40. Three per pay-per-view. They haven't been doing that for that long.
Matches, going all the way back to Taker versus HBK.
I got thrown off when you said don't include, because I was going to say 43, and then you said don't include this weekend, so I said 19.
It's total BS.
It doesn't matter. Tunney still won. He can still. He can be unlike the Packers last week.
All right, this segment's over.
Asshole.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I never claim to be a sweetheart. I'm just saying that right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It wouldn't fit into the show. Gentlemen, it's been a lovely 250th episode, so let's close it out with Last Call.
Last Call. Alcohol. What do you mean it's Last Call?
You mean, what do I mean? It's the last thing we're going to talk about right here on episode 250. I do have a little project I wanted to put into this episode that we're gonna go through with it. I don't want to tell you exactly what it is. Dave knows what it is. You guys know what I was talking about. I would really like to turn that into an episode of its own now. So look for something special from the DWI podcast, which is going to be about the people at the Chair Shot and their history with falling in love with professional wrestling. I'll just say that for now. That's a pretty good introduction to it, right, Dave? It could be a fun episode kind of talking about what we talked about the other day. So
yeah.
For Last Call today, I just want to go around the horn and just pick something. I don't care if you're watching something that's not wrestling, you're watching something that is wrestling, there's something in wrestling that you're really in love with right now. I don't know, you went for a walk in the park and saw a squirrel. Just take a couple minutes and tell
squirrel.
Me. What's just that squirrel? It looks like something's. He always looks like he's concerned with something. You know, he's like, you see that squirrel and he's eating the nut and he stops and he looks over there.
Like Neil Patrick Harris and Harold and Kumar. You see that unicorn?
The squirrel's like, did I leave the gas on? No, of course not. I'm a fucking squirrel. Anyway. I'll go first.
That was a nice Eddie Izzard reference.
Yes, that's an Eddie Izzard. Spitfires, yes. Right? So I'll go first. That way you guys can kind of – I have been slowly getting to enjoy AEW more and more. It's going on with having more and more behind itself, and I'm really looking forward to their second year. And in a lateral step aside, if you are a fan of ESPN and the Dan Le Batard show, Chris Jericho has been showing up every Friday on the Dan Le Batard show to pick NFL games and talk with the boys. So if you're an AEW fan, if you're a fan of Le Champion, go ahead and check out the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz. They do some great work on over there. AJ, I know you got a little bit of the bubbly. What are you got going on? One little thing you'd like to talk about today?
Well, one little thing that I like talking about, especially since we did kind of bring them up, watching the boys, the season premiere, or their season ending for season two ending on last week. I know that you guys kind of had an idea for me, which unfortunately weekends are my date nights. But another thing I've been watching is actually, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, the show Lucifer used to be on Fox, now it's on Netflix. I've been slowly remembering everything currently on season 3 and going forward. Something I've always watched, of course, the new girlfriend loves Lucifer too, so I've been watching it with her. And
there's a Lucifer and a Lucifer 2?
But there's not a Lucifer 2. Come on. T-O-O.
Lucifer?
T-O-O.
Oh, she loves Lucifer in addition.
As well.
If anyone's also. Lucifer 2, it's well. Me.
As well.
If there's a Lucifer 2, it's me. Come on.
Or over.
How many times have you been pissed off with me saying total BS and whatnot? Come on.
Kayfabe, a lot. Real life, not at all.
Exactly. But no, I've been watching Lucifer, finished up the boys. Who knows? You might see me on the... on Bandwagon Nerds doing a little bit of trivia, because I know that was talked about. We might do that.
We could use that. We got to get DP back first, but we could use some trivia.
Oh.
Because,
okay, so here, I didn't even bring it up to you and Patrick because I wanted to see if AJ would do it first or was available to do it. I knew he wanted to, but I almost, when we did the panel for the boys, at the end of season two, I almost had AJ there for the boys trivia.
Yeah, sadly, I was doing stuff with the girlfriend, but I do actually have questions brought up right here on my phone, just in case.
Oh, save them.
I'm free, so you might see me on the Bandwagon Nerds doing some boys trivia.
Crikey, what a ripper.
Doesn't Patrick hate trivia?
I don't know. I'm not sure if he hates it or not, but I know this week we did the Nerds review, and I think it's the first time we ever were unanimous in a perfect score on anything. I got to double check, but it seemed we were going in that direction. Flash Gordon for the win.
There you go.
Yeah.
DP's not impressed.
We'll let Dave go last year. DP, what have you been up to? I feel a video game coming on here.
You would think there'd be a video game, but actually I want to talk about some television shows, and then I've got something else for our guest. I want to talk about something you love, PC Tunny, and we just started watching Shameless.
Ah, yes. Great show.
Fantastic. And we're just finishing up season one. So,
oh my God.
A lot of fun. We got a long way to go. We started that.
Good for you. I wish I was still back. It's one of those shows. I'll shut up after this, but to me, there's always there's shows and movies where you watch them and you wish you could erase your memory and watch them again for the first time.
Yeah. I could see it for this one. It got off to a very hectic start. I wasn't sure if I was really liking it or not too much, but I do enjoy it, and it's a lot of fun. And we've been watching that as well as Justified, which is one I wanted to get into because Timothy Oliphant is a beautiful man. And I don't know why, but I enjoy everything that he does. You know, back to Deadwood and everything else. So I'm really enjoying watching that so far. We've watched a few episodes of that. So getting into that as well. So those are our two big shows right now. Now that, you know, the boys are done and everything else, besides the regular, you know, 30-minute cartoon shows like Archer, which is fantastic, and Bob's Burgers as well, and everything that H. John Benjamin does, because he is a fantastic man as well. But before Dave gets into what he's been up to and everything, I have something for Dave that he needs to answer, and it would definitely be appropriate for episode 250, and that's a little bit of Braun Strowman's favorites. I mean, it just...
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the sensation that's sweeping the nation! This week's host for Braun Strowman's favorites, DPP.
Seem right to have
it'd
an
be
episode.
Much better if you had the old set of the Merv Griffin show.
The lights going. Who am I, Cosmo Kramer?
Just go with it, Jerry.
And here's our special guest, Jack Hanna. What animal have you brought with us today, Jack?
Get that squirrel out of here. Hawks eat squirrels.
Oh, God. But yes, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be a 250th episode of DWI Podcast without a little Braun Strowman's favorites. So since we have a special guest, Big Dave, you get the opportunity to answer this, and you know how the game works, so we don't have to really go into the game of how it works. We'll just get right into it. So Braun Strowman, it's on a new brand, you know, we're kind of stuck in COVID. He's probably, you know, stuck with places he can go to eat and things like that. They're probably limited, you know, down there in Florida, I'm sure. I'm going to guess he's a big fan of buffets and things like that. And, you know, he seems like a seafood type of man. You know, he likes those kind of seafood dishes and things like that. So my question to you is, what is Braun Strowman's favorite crustacean?
Prawn!
Prawns is the answer. I know it was an easy one, but we had to do a Braun Strowman's favorites.
Had to.
And that's all she wrote for Braun Strowman's
Sorry,
favorites.
Sorry, I'm a little late. Yeah.
No, that's fine.
I was checking to see if Antonio Brown was available in either of my fantasy football leagues.
I was stalling for 10 seconds.
There it is. There's the audible swing. Dave, why don't you let everybody know what's the one thing you got going on you want to talk about right now?
Well, I'm actually like there's three shows that I'm watching that I'm trying to get caught up on that. You know, this will drop my nerd cred a little bit. Got through season one of Stranger Things, finally. Fantastic show. Got through season one of Game of Thrones. I've never watched Game of Thrones. Always want to.
Wow.
Got through season one of Game of Thrones, and now I'm into season two. My wife and I really bonded over Walking Dead, and we were religious about it through the eighth season. And then midway through season eight, when they killed the tiger, she checked out. She's like, I can't do this anymore. And I've gone back and picked it up. And I just got to the episode where Carl dies in season eight. And man, that was just rough to go through to see one of your favorite characters.
He's pissed because you told him Carl dies.
Like, it's a fucking spoiler at this point.
In eight seasons, I'm going to get there.
Can I tell you guys something? There's dragons in Game of Thrones.
I know. They were at the end of the season
You're
one.
You're still going to be disappointed in the last season. But
Hey, Dave. There's going to be a red wedding.
I've heard about that one, too. A red wedding.
Also a Dinklebot.
Right. I want to ask DP something, though. We're about a few weeks away from the new consoles launching. Winner is you. Cheap plug for Winner is you, of course.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts about the new consoles now? We're just a few weeks out. What are you seeing that's got you excited or not excited?
Honestly, not much has got me excited for them. I mean, there's obviously the new games that are coming out that I'm going to want to play for like PS5, like Spider-Man Miles Morales. Graphics-wise, they look incredible. I think bang for your buck if you're looking for a console, especially parents out there, if you're looking for one for your kids, the Xbox Series S is really looking like the way to go, man. Like, the specs are a little bit lower, but the price is like just can't be beat, man. Can't be beat.
100?
$300? $200? $300.
I think it's 300. I think it's 300. If you want the upgraded series, it's 500 along with the Well, the PlayStation's 500.
Like,
normal is 4.
Incredible. And it's so tiny. Like, you know, you won't even notice you have the console sitting there. That's how good that is. So it's tough because it comes down to, you know, preference of, you know, those exclusives. But if you're not really into certain exclusive games, I'm honestly leaning towards the Xbox.
Wow.
That's
a little surprising.
Not for me. I'm a PlayStation guy. As far as exclusives go, I'm PlayStation all the way with Uncharted and Spider-Man, God of War. Like, those are mine.
MLB The Show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, in the words of that kid from A League of Their Own, can't we do both?
Fucking all those dos. I guess they can.
That's why
I got a PC.
Yeah, I mean... That's fair.
Speaking of PC,
and we don't mean Tony.
All right, folks. I want to thank. I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping here for myself and DP and AJ. 250 episodes. Pretty cool, to be honest with you. Obviously, thank you to Kenny and Dave and Greg. That's chronological order to the people that have have helped us go from September of 2014 to where we are in 2020. Frankie DeFalco, thank you so much. I've known him since before I can remembering things, and he's always been really good to us. Everybody around here, Beer City Bruiser, Max Holiday, Aesop Mitchell, Sin Bodhi, I want to thank so much for everything. Thunder Rosa as well. Just some of the people that have been really kind to us and that have come on the show, and whenever I've message them in the way that I'm able to, they've said, let's do it. So that's just a few people that I just wanted to thank right off the bat. Chairshot.com has been amazing. My name's PC Tunney. You can find me at PC Tunney. Three Man Weave and Pod is War they're going to be back hell or high water if I have my way. It's sooner than later. So we'll see what happens going on down the road there. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. There is a 20% off sale, I believe, right now for the 2 million. They've sold 2 million shirts, I believe. So 2 mil is 20% off for this weekend. It's not a Platt promo code where it may or may not work. This is a real one. So go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. DP, we'll let Dave go last here. Let everybody know what's going on with you.
Well, I'll start with what's going on and just say, you know, that the Winner Is You podcast continues to go on. You can see that on Twitter and on Facebook at A Winner Is You, the letter U, the winner, A Winner Is You, good Lord. All over thechairshot.com as well, our gaming podcast there. And I want to give just special shout-outs as well in the same vein of PC Tunney. Shout-out to Kinney, first of all, for... You know, as we got going, I think, you know, from my recollections, he was the first one to kind of find us and give us that opportunity and kind of get us out there. And then, yeah, obviously Big Dave as well, being next in line for helping us out and getting us kind of to where we are. You know, how long we would have kept it going unless we found friends like you, best friends, as PC would say, our best friend. Like
my
you.
Best friend.
Best buddies.
And then Greg DeMarco, for sure, for getting us that big opportunity to get on a bigger stage and everything like that, and starting thechairshot.com, getting that all going and bringing us in as part of, you know, the forefront of it and being, you know, big in the line and starting the Chairshot podcast and everything like that as well.
And Christopher Platt, I think we both want to. Big shout out to Christopher Platt, who we met with the what was their I can't remember the do you remember their podcast with Danny and Danny Hardcore Hudman it was like the Happy Hour podcast,
Happy Hour.
We had gotten in touch with each other because we were the Drunk Wrestling Intelligence and they're the Happy Hour, and we did some stuff and they stopped podcasting, and I said to Dan, I said, you know, I talk to Platt all the time. I said, let's bring him in. Let's bring him on. And it was great to have him on with us. And obviously the rest is history with how we all work together. So.
Yeah. That was going to be my next thing was like, shout out to the Mike Man, you know, part of the show at the beginning there for everything that we did as a group. And then the opportunity that we got to bring in Platt as well. He was awesome. And as done so many great things for not only us but for the Chair Shot, and now we got AJ Belaz as part of our team, which is doing awesome things, and it's just absolute fun. We continue to have so much fun and brought trivia to our sad little lives and total BS trivia, but it's fun and it's awesome every week. So thank you so much for that, and I give a huge shout out to PC Tunney, my partner. That has been there forever. I know you're going to hate this, but I really do appreciate everything you've done for this podcast. And you mentioned Sin Bodhi. I mean, the people you have gotten in touch with doing that social media stuff has opened up so many things for us. Like getting in touch with Sin Bodhi, and the fact that I got to go to Vegas for a work related thing, and I got to go and meet D'Lo Brown in person and see their facility and talk to them. The fact that I got to video chat with Jake the Snake Roberts.
I remember the conversation I had with Sin. I go, where is the wrestling school in Vegas? You know, if we came out there, what's up, you know? He's like, well, just let me know whenever you're going to be out there. So I'm not the one going out there. Dan's the one going out there. And I'm messaging Sin like, when are you going to be around? When can you stop by? When can Dan stop by? And D'Lo, that was I still remember that whole time.
Yeah, it was still so cool and just was so awesome that I got that opportunity to go, you know, on a work trip. I'm like, hey guys, I got a thing after work's over. I'm like, I'm going to meet these guys and see what they got going on in the facility. And it was just so cool that we got to do that. You know, that those opportunities have opened up for us to kind of live some of those dreams of like, hey, we got to talk to some of the guys we watch wrestle all the time. It's like really cool. I mean, and I'm leaving out a ton of people. You know, we talked to the Beer City Bruiser and got to see him wrestle locally. Is like so cool. And you know, Frankie DeFalco, who's helped us out so much, and you know, the fact that we've got to hang out with wrestlers, you know, at the bars, like, you know, Ring of Honor wrestlers and shit like that, like, that's just so cool. I know you got a hell of a story for that.
Dalton Castle is following me in the bathrooms.
I can't imagine, you know, where we would have been without the help of everybody, you know, and how we got there. So I thank everybody so much, because it's so cool. It was such a fun ride, and I, you know, the fact that we've gotten to see these people wrestle live in person and got to talk to them live, and you know, it's like, man, that is some fun stuff. You know, when you're a kid watching wrestling, you don't think you're going to actually meet some of your people who you thought, you know, are your heroes or stuff like that. It's like, man, that is a lot of fun. That is pretty cool. So thank you to everybody who has helped us out along the way, from episode -10 to now, basically. So
follow that, AJ.
I mean, I really can't follow that, in all honesty, because, you know, I'm in the same boat with DP, where it was, you know, watching wrestlers, actually getting to interact with them, like, years ago. I actually got to see a meet and greet with Shawn Michaels, got his signature. I actually still have the picture that he signed near me right now. I don't have it hanging because I don't have a spot, but, you know, actually going on as soon as I came back to Andrew and whatnot, living in his house, coming onto the one episode of the Pod is War on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and randomly just out of nowhere with a little bit of the bubbly special that they had. I don't remember if it was you or it was Platt that said, yeah, bring AJ on real quick, or as I'm known as in Pod is War, and I thought it was you, 20. And I thought it was, but I'm not 100% sure. It's a little fuzzy with me, especially since I've had a few drinks in me. But, you know, bring him on, let him talk a little bit. Good old brother of balls, as they like to call me over there on Pod is War.
Bob.
Got to talk a little bit.
He's not just a writer, folks.
It's better than baby balls.
Better than baby balls. That's true. Baby balls and big balls, I think, was the original idea. It's like, not brother of balls, just go with that. But and then randomly one, it was either February or March, I'm not 100% sure when, it was like, yeah, how about AJ join DWI with us and whatnot. And ever since, I've been talking to you since, I'm pretty sure it was late March. I could be wrong on that, but late March, bringing, you know, all of our fun little trivia and whatnot. Big shout out to Greg DeMarco for the website in general, and everyone who's given opportunities to all of us. You know, me with the podcast with Tunney and Dan, Big Dave showing up as a big guest and being the big role model for all of us for the podcast and everything. So.
Oh, God.
All I can say is I'm grateful, I'm thankful for it, because in all honesty, I didn't think I would be part of a podcast, in all honesty. So,
me neither.
Going on,
I'll tell you this. Before Platt came on and before you came on, DP and I had very brief conversations, and I both times said, DP, I said, you can insert your name or Platt's name. I said, why don't we bring this person on to be on the show full time? And DP said, yes, most definitely. And that's exactly how both conversations went.
I can believe that. And then, like I said, I heard from Andrew randomly one day. It's like, yeah, Tony wants you on DWI for Fridays. Let's do that. And I'm like, sure, why not? I got nothing better to do. This is right when COVID started, the whole quarantine and everything. So I'm like, sure, why not? I'll join in. I'll have a little bit of fun. Give me an excuse to actually drink, other than I'm bored.
And look what we did. Look what we did for you. We got you clean shaven. We got you a job and a girlfriend. What else would you want? from the DWI podcast.
By the way, you're fired.
Talking about me being the role model. AJ, these two guys. Yeah!
Really? You know, I can actually talk. Sometimes I'll slip up the ahs on the podcast every now and again, as Andrew likes to call me the master. No, I'm very thankful, especially being part of not just 250, but since March, being part of the entire family.
Dave, what's going on in Daveville?
Oh, well. Guys, thank you so much for allowing me to be part of the 250th episode. And since I'm the only one here, I feel extremely honored that you guys let me come on here and celebrate this momentous occasion with you. I think you were on our 250th. I'm sure you guys were. So it's been a great ride talking to you guys over the years and just sharing so many stories about wrestling and just the hijinks and everything that goes on. And 250 couldn't have happened to a nicer couple of guys. As far as me being a role model, fuck that. You don't want me as a role model. That's like Charles Barkley. You're better off having him as a role model than Big Dave, because
it's terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Terrible. Terrible.
But it's been great. And a shout out to Thunder Rosa, the best wrestler in AEW, who's not actually part of the AEW roster. So, you know, but yeah, congrats again, guys. And other than that, man, nothing else is going on. You can check me out at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. You can check me out on Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression. You can catch me as a co-host of Bandwagon Nerds at Bandwagon Nerds on the Twitter. Yeah, episodes drop every Monday. We are rapidly approaching the one-year anniversary of the show, which resembles nothing like what it was when it started. It was nowhere near what it evolved into. That is for sure. And
there's a behind the band, behind the music. Woo. For the beginning of Bandwagon Nerds, I can tell you that. Nerds.
Yeah, the fifth. Jeez, we got rid of the fifth Beatle or something like that.
I can tell you how all that went down from my perspective one day.
Yeah. Everyone.
Very interesting day involving Drew Brees.
Oh,
yeah, that to put it lightly. But yeah, that's where I'm hanging out at, and still watching wrestling when I can, still talking wrestling with you guys. And you know, if it wasn't for you guys, I would never put out anything, probably, which I hardly put out anything anyway, because I have more fun just talking to you guys than doing my own shit. Who wants to do that?
You're saying if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't put out?
That's right. Exactly.
So what you're saying is the three of us are all pimps, and yes. You're our head bitch. Okay.
I'm your bitch, yeah. That's the stipulation that just announced it tonight, that the loser has to have I'm your bitch tattooed on his butt cheeks. So there you go.
Well, it's time. Once again, for everybody to come aboard the Hoo train. All right, folks, I thank you for the 250th time for tuning into this podcast. I really do appreciate it. That's it. We did it again. My name's PC Tunney for DPP, AJ Balazs, and my best friend, David Ungar.
Did you just quote like Britney Spears lyrics there? I'm just... We did it again. Is that what you were doing?
Oops, we did it again. 250.
I think I sharted. That's part with
oh, baby.
No, I'm not going there. All right. My name is PC Tony for DPP, AJ Balazs, the best friend one podcast could have, Mr. Dave Ungar. Episode 250. Good for thechairshot.com. Go over there. There's something for everybody. Sports entertainment. And you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as
D-W-I. My ears.
My eyeballs.
My earballs. My earballs.
Are we going back to the eye for an eye match? Just check.
Oh, God, no.
I'm on day 9 of my Treehouse of Horror lead up to Halloween. Woo-hoo. fuck. I can't even find it now. God damn it.
Uh-oh.
That really how the episode's going
to
end?
No, I'm really ripping to find what I'm trying to find right now.
That does really, you know, sum up everything over 250 episodes. I can't fucking find it.
DWI 250.
And it was right above the last thing I played.
It was right
there. Are you ready
there.
To end the show, DP? Are you ready to end the show?
Let's make it happen.
Sodas rule.
Yeah, they do. Ah, jeez.